Spirit, here I learn of full salvation.
It's great to have Brother Benny Durham here this morning and his wife Greta, and we're thankful that he's with us this morning. And he is the former pastor of Marietta Baptist Church, and now he is the chaplain and deputy for Greenville County Sheriff's Office. And so glad to have a godly presence there with him. God is using him greatly. And Benny, if you would just come, and I just want to pray for you this morning as you preach God's word. Just have at it then.
Okay.
God, we thank you for Benny, Lord, and his ministry, Lord. I pray, God, that as he preaches your word this morning, that you would challenge us, that you would convict us, and, Lord, that we would see Jesus, and we would hear a message, Lord, that we can apply to our life, Lord, but we would not leave here without doing that. We would use your word in our life, God, and just anoint him with your spirit today, and, Lord, just save souls today, and, Lord, I pray that we would witness your presence here with us this morning. God, thank you for him, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. If you have your Bibles, turn with me today to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, very familiar passage. We'll start in chapter 1, verse 1, the book of Acts. While you're turning there, I'll say it's good to be back with you. I've been here a few times through the years. I spoke at a men's breakfast, I think, the last time I was here. And I appreciate Brother Vince. Vince and Kim have been dear friends for a long, long time now. And I appreciate you praying for them. I was pastor for 30 years, 10 years before I came to Marietta. And then I was at Marietta for a little over 20 years. And being a pastor for 30 years, I didn't realize until I left the pastorate and went to the sheriff's office full time. And when I say burden, it's not a bad burden, but there's a burden of the churches. Paul talks about it. It says, besides all this, the daily care of the churches. And that is a weight that a pastor carries, and sometimes a pastor don't even realize that. And so I appreciate Vince being able to get away and kind of get refreshed. And I appreciate you praying for them while they're gone. Do that. And I always say, if you want a better pastor, be a better prayer. You pray harder for your pastor, and he'll be a better pastor. That's the best way to do that. And I appreciate him letting me fill in. It's good to be here with you. My life took a turn that we didn't anticipate. I really thought that we would retire at Marietta and probably could have. The church loved us, and we loved them. Wasn't any problems for us to leave. But God began to work in our lives, and we knew that as Red and I, my wife, we began to pray and seek the Lord's will. We knew that there was something else God would have us to do. And for 17 years, I was a volunteer chaplain and reserve deputy with Greenville County. And the opportunity opened up last July, so I've been there a little over a year full-time now. I became full-time chaplain with the intention of staying a reserve deputy, and that didn't work out. So last September, at 59 years old, I had to go back to the Criminal Justice Academy for 12 weeks, go through class there with most of them were 20 to 30-year-olds. And go through all the PT and DT and all that. It about killed me. I said, by the grace of God, ibuprofen, I made it through. So it was tough, but it was a good experience. God opened a lot of doors for me to share the gospel there. I was able to lead some Bible studies and pray for different classes before they take their test. And so God used that time. I came back and did 7 weeks of field training here and finally got on my own and doing chaplaincy first and then deputy work as well. And so you pray for us. Pray for me. There's a lot of opportunities with the sheriff's office. About 600 people that I minister to, about 480 or so sworn deputies, and then about 120 civilians. And so it's a great opportunity, and I'm enjoying it. And I'm enjoying preaching around. I apologize for being a little late. I preached at Clearview. We joined Clearview some time back, and our pastor is on a mission trip. So I preached there this morning and was a little bit late getting here. but glad I could be here. So let's dive into God's Word. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1. Thank you, brother, for praying for us. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, if you're able to stand. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Today I'm preaching on this subject, building the kingdom of God. Building the kingdom of God. Verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and listen to this, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Building the kingdom of God. Thank you, and you may be seated. We're living in a day more than ever that we need to be about the Father's business. I think about that passage where Jesus, when he was 12 years old, and he stayed behind at the temple, and they were looking for him. They come back, and they find him, and Mary and Joseph said to him, we were worried about you. And he said, what? Do I not need to be about my Father's business? What's happening, I think, in our churches today is we're becoming complacent. Even good churches. I think this is a great church. By the way, your music was great. We get to preach in a lot of places where they really don't have much opportunity for music. I like seeing this lady with a smile on her face leading the music too. And you have great music. I've seen you step out in faith with this new building you built. I hear good things about you. I love Vince and his reporting of the church. And so you're doing a great thing. But if you're not careful, you'll become complacent. Some of the greatest churches in our nation have become complacent, and they've just reached a point where they're not building the kingdom anymore. And so the Bible's very clear in the book of Acts. If you look in your Bible, most every Bible will say something like this. Mine says, the Acts of the Apostles. In reality, the book of Acts is more the Acts of the Holy Spirit that he did through the apostles. The good news about the book of Acts is God wants to do that through us today as well. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and wants to build the kingdom of God through us. So let's look and have the reasons we find in this little passage we've read today why we need to build the kingdom of God. I think we find very clear reasons to do that. First of all, is simply this. The reason we build the kingdom of God is because it's God's kingdom, not ours. Now look again, verse 3. It says, he presented himself alive after his suffering, many proofs, appearing to them over 40 days. And listen to what he was speaking of, things concerning the kingdom of God. Now listen to me, church. There is a king, and you're not it. Amen? We're not the king. Every day we need to remind ourselves that we're not the one in charge of things in our lives. Now the problem is, if we'll just get real honest, that's a good way for church members to be. Amen? If we get real honest, we don't like people telling us what to do. Right? I'll just go ahead and be the first one to get real honest. I don't. Amen? It rubs against us. When somebody is telling you what to do, it rubs against that nature that we're born with. And so what happens many times is we become complacent and we finally reach that point to where we really, now we would not say this, but we've really had enough of Jesus telling us what to do. And we reach that point and we think, I know. Have you ever had kids when you start talking to them and they say, I know, I know, I know, I know. You can't talk to them for saying, I know. And we're like those kids a lot of time. We're saying to the Lord, I know, I know, I know, I know. You don't have to keep telling me that. As a matter of fact, I told them at Clearview this morning, that's why most people don't want to read the Bible, because it messes our lives up. It messes up our stinking thinking, I call it. We start reading God's word and he tells us what to do. And by the way, the word of God is very clear. It says, what? Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you and that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. When we come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, not just as Savior, we accept him as Lord. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, lordship means that he's the king and we are not. It's his kingdom and not ours. But if we're not careful, we'll get complacent and we'll start building our own kingdom and we'll forsake the kingdom of God. Vance Havner said that in the average Baptist church, and Vance has been in heaven a long time, he said in the average Baptist church, you could remove the Holy Spirit and nobody would ever notice. We're building our kingdom to our own kingdom too many times instead of the kingdom of God. And in these last 40 days, I find it interesting that in these 40 days, I would love to have known every day of those 40 days. I would like to know what Jesus said and what he did. But we have very, very limited information, but he sums it up here by saying that he was speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. The New Testament church is birthed in the book of Acts. And so those 40 days he spent talking about the kingdom of God in the New Testament church. And so now he says to us, we're the kingdom builders. Now, you've ever been on a ministry project, maybe a building project, or you've seen some other building going on, and you see about five or six people standing around and one person working? That's what's happening in our churches today. Somebody said, I think they're probably pretty accurate, that 20% of the people in the church do 80% of the work. And that's probably about right. Because people like to stand and watch others do the work of the kingdom. But God is calling us in the book of Acts to be a part of the New Testament church, that we are to be involved in building the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God can never be finished here on this earth. We're to be constantly building the kingdom of God. So we build the kingdom of God because it's God's kingdom, not ours. Second reason we build the kingdom of God, and I like this one, we have the power to do it. We have the power to do it. Now look in verse 4. He says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Now just a side note there. Remember, Jesus had been crucified. The city was in an uproar. And then now Jesus was resurrected from the dead. But the story they were getting from the garden tomb, the guards over the garden tomb there, was that they stole his body away. That was widely spread that you'll see in those days. And so now Jerusalem was in a turmoil. It was time to get out of Dodge. It was time to move out because the persecution may begin. But Jesus says to them, no, you need to stay here in Jerusalem because I've got something great coming. It's what the Father had promised, he says, which he said you heard of from me. And you know, in John's Gospel, for example, 14:15, along in there, he talks about the Holy Spirit and the necessity for the Spirit of God to come. As a matter of fact, Jesus said they would be better off for him to leave so the Spirit could come. Isn't that amazing to think that? I mean, really think about this. I think most of us say, boy, if Jesus were just here to walk with me every day, and I could walk with him in his ministry, that would be the best thing. But Jesus said, no, that's not the best thing. He said, the best thing is for me to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Our sister was talking about the Spirit of God in this place a little bit ago, and that's why it's so great, because the Holy Spirit is not limited to one place and one time. He is able to be in all places at all times. I had a professor who used to say, God doesn't have anywhere to go. He's already there. God is everywhere. God is always at work. And the Spirit of God lives in us and through us to build the kingdom of God. So look what he says, verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, the Holy Spirit of God, it's not something mystical. It's not something magical. He is spiritual. That's what he is. He is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. And the neat thing is that we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and he empowers us to do the work that needs to be done. Now, here's what happens. The Bible says two things can happen with the Spirit of God. You can grieve the Spirit of God, and you can quench the Spirit of God. Now, I think there's a difference. I think we grieve the Spirit of God when we do not do what we should be doing. And I think we quench the Spirit of God when we do those things that we should not be doing. When I was a little kid, I grew up, I said I was Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I was going to a Southern Baptist church 9 months before I was born. And so I was raised, and I was Mountain Grove. I don't know if anybody knows Mountain Grove Baptist Church up above Pickett in the Holly Springs area up in there. It's where I was born and raised. And so our deacons used to pray all the time. They'd open in prayer and things. And I'd hear them praying, and this would be their prayer, about every one of them. Lord, forgive us for the sin of omission, and forgive us the sin of commission. They didn't say commission, it's commission. I was born and raised Pickett. That's Pekingese. We speak Pekingese language over there. And so I'd hear these deacons praying, oh, Lord, forgive us for omission and commission. And I thought, I wonder what those two sins are. Every deacon's doing them. You know, and they're every Sunday, they're praying for God to forgive them for these two sins. And I was growing up, and I thought, and finally I asked my daddy, I said, Daddy, what are you deacons? My dad's a deacon. I said, what are you deacons doing that you're always asking God to forgive you of? And he explained to me, omission means we're omitting things that we should be doing, and commission or commission, we're committing things we shouldn't. That's what grieves and quenches the Spirit of God. Now, you listen to me, church. Probably right here in this room, there's some of you are not doing what you should be doing. You are omitting some things, and you're grieving the Spirit of God. No doubt in this room, there's people who are committing things that they should not be doing. And you're quenching the Spirit of God. And I'm just telling you, we cannot build the kingdom without the Spirit of God. I'm telling you that this Holy Spirit that he talks about, look in verse 8, and we'll get to that just a little bit later, but he says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power of the Holy Spirit of God is the only power that enables us to be able to do the work God's called us to do. It's that same Spirit in the Great Commission. By the way, that's not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission, right? And he said, I will be with you even to the end of the earth. And see, that promise is that the Spirit of God will always be with us. Now, here's the burden that's on us. It's up to us whether it's ever quenched or grieved in our lives. You do not have to quench the Spirit of God. You do not have to grieve the Spirit of God. It's up to you whether you do that or not. And when you do not enjoy the power of the Spirit of God. How many times are we trying to do that in our own power in our churches? We're really, I think it's Missouri. Have you ever seen their tag? It says the Show Me State. Well, I really think a lot of Baptist churches must be from Missouri. Because we're not going to do it unless you show me how we can do it. We're not walking by faith, we're walking by sight. We look at our bank accounts and determine what we can do for the kingdom of God. We look at how many people we have and we determine that by that what we can do for the kingdom of God. What we should be doing is looking at about how big our God is and determining what he wants us to do. And listen, God will never ask us to do something we cannot do. God never asked Ebenezer Welcome to do anything you're not able to accomplish. You know there's nothing in the Bible that he asks us to do that he does not empower us to do. Peter says we're to be holy as he is holy. Now I hear people say, well, we can't be holy because God's perfect. We're not. That's right. But holiness does not mean perfection. Holiness means separating yourself from sin. God separates himself from sin. And God's calling us to do that. How do we do it? Through the Spirit of God. God is calling you to build Ebenezer Welcome Baptist Church. God has placed these churches. And, you know, we get accused of having too many churches. But, you know, how can you have too many churches? Church, God is planting. As long as God's planted the church, then God will help you build the church. And I promise you that if you got everybody in this community around Ebenezer Welcome to come to church on Sunday morning, you would not have enough seats in here to seat them all. So we've got work to do. We've got kingdom building to do. We've got to build the kingdom of God by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So it's important that you're not quenching or grieving the Spirit of God, that you're the body of Christ here at Ebenezer Welcome pulling together. Listen, people don't like this. The Bible says that he has placed an under-shepherd, your pastor here, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that you are to submit to him and you are even to obey him. because he watches over your soul. And so you're coming under the leadership of your pastor. You're marching forward in the kingdom of God, building the kingdom of God as a family of God, working hand in hand, loving one another, and letting the Spirit of God fill you, and you can accomplish anything that God calls you to accomplish. Do you know God has a special plan for you? Isn't that neat? That God, before this church was ever built, before the first building was ever on this property, God had a plan for you. God has people still out there that need to be reached that you hadn't reached yet. Do you know this church is not about you? It's not your kingdom. It's not your church. Sometimes we get to thinking it's our church and it's not his. He's the head of the church. Listen to me. The whole body can be underwater, but if the head's out of water, it's going to be okay. And that's the head always stays out of water. We've got to be building the kingdom through the Spirit of God. You have the power to do that. So reasons to build the kingdom of God. We build it because it's his kingdom, not ours. We build it because we have the power to do it. Thirdly, we build the kingdom of God because it's his business, not ours. Now look what he says, what happens in verse 6. I think this may have been the First Baptist Church. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying. Now listen, get in context now. The Lord is 40 days with them. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's telling them they're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And all they want to do is ask him questions about his business and find out if this is the time they're going to become powerful. Look what they said. They came together. They were asking him, said, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Now, you remember, I call it the not so triumphal entry. You remember that? What's called the triumphal entry into Jerusalem? When he came off the Mount of Olives, went into the city. My wife and I, we've taken about 8 or so groups over there. We've been on the Mount of Olives, walked that trail. I picture it in my mind what was happening. I mean, they were all standing around. They were saying, Hosanna to the King. They were putting palm branches in the way. They were laying their clothes down. And they were just talking about how blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And that same crowd at the end of that week were saying, crucify him. You know why? Because they thought he was going to come and take over. They thought he was going to come into Jerusalem and kick the Roman Empire out. They thought at that time Israel would be set up to rule and reign with him. And when he didn't do that, they were disappointed. And then that's when the Pharisees and scribes got that same crowd that was crying, Hosanna, to cry out to Pilate, crucify him. Away with this man. We don't want him. Now that the Lord has been resurrected from the dead, and now he's talking about the kingdom again, now they're saying, wait, now may be the time. They're missing the whole message that he has for them about building the kingdom of God. They're wanting to be in high places. So they said, is it now the time you'll restore the kingdom? Listen to what he says, verse 7. He said to them, now let me just translate this into Pekingese. He said, it's none your business. Y'all ever heard that? That's what he's saying here. It's none of your business what I'm about to do. He said, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. You know what the Bible says? That his ways and his thoughts are as high as the heavens are above the earth than our ways and thoughts. And listen to me, I've been, like I said, I've been a pastor for 30 years, been in a Southern Baptist church all my life, and I know, and listen, I've been guilty of it. There reaches a time when we think we know what God, his whole mind, and we think we can speak for God, and we can tell him a better way. Listen to me, it's none of our business what God is directing us to do, because he's the King, he's the Lord, and we're just his servants. We've submitted ourselves to him as Lord, and whatever he says, listen, even if it does not make sense to us. You think about that, what is it, Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 2, when Jesus was in the house and they couldn't get the old boy that was crippled to him, you know what they did? They started tearing the roof off. Can you imagine how much chatter would start in here if the roof started collapsing right here? You know, we'd be saying, oh boy, I wonder if our insurance is going to cover that. How much money? Everybody be finding treasure. How much money have we got in the bank account? It's going to cost us a bunch of money. Who's going to pay for that? I mean, and that's what happened in that little house that night. Everybody getting all concerned about this. And Jesus saying, this is my plan. whatever it takes, even if it doesn't make sense to you. My life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. You see, what we're doing in our church is saying, well, that doesn't make sense to me, so we better not do it. Listen to me, God's sense is not always our sense. And we need to realize we cannot trust in our own ways. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So many times when we think we've got it figured out, we don't have it figured out. It's God's business and not ours. So he says, no, don't worry about what I'm doing. You just do what I tell you to do. Fourthly and lastly, there's a fourth reason why we should build the kingdom of God, and it's simply this. It's God's commandment, not our choice. Listen to what he says, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now listen to me. We've already touched on this a little bit, but let me wrap that part up by saying this. I'm afraid that God wants to do more in your life and in my life than you or I want him to do. I want you to listen, I've watched people a long time now, pastored them for 30 years. I'm afraid that the reason people are not selling out to Jesus is because they simply don't like what the Lord wants to do with them. Have y'all ever heard, this more picking these language, y'all know what druthers are? If I'd had my druthers, yeah, some of you don't, you see, some of you haven't lived in Pickens. You ought to live over a little while, it'll help you out. The things that you would rather do. Over in Pickens, we call them druthers. I'd rather do this, I'd rather do that. Instead of, I'd rather do this, and I'd rather do that. How many times, let's just get real personal this morning. How many times have you looked at your life and not been content with it? How many times have you looked at somebody else and said, boy, now, if I could sing like she does or he does, then that's what I'd love to do. Or if I could teach like that person, I could do, or I could preach like that, or if I could do this, or if I could be a good deacon like that, or if I could just do that, if God just let me do, listen to me. God's not looking for what you'd rather do. He's looking for what you need to do. You know what I found out? People do that with money. You ever seen that? Well, you know, Baptists, they'll use the public clearinghouse. They won't talk about the lottery unless they win it, and they'll try to hide that. But I hear people say, boy, if I could just win the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes, I'd pay off our church building. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me tell you something first. You're probably not going to win it. I'm not sure anybody wins that. I've never seen anybody. You know, they got them little people on TV smiling, but they're unknown faces. I think they're paid actors. God's not worried about what you do with what you do not have. God's concerned about what you're doing and what you do have. God's not concerned about what you would do if you were somebody else. God is concerned what you're doing. Listen to me. Do you know, and praise the Lord, can we say praise the Lord when I say this? There's only one of you. Amen? When I started preaching back in 1985, I surrendered to preach. And I'll never forget, there were two men that I loved to hear preach, Billy Graham and Bailey Smith. I love to hear that. Was my two favorite preachers. I like Billy Graham. He got, because of the way he taught. You remember how he'd say God. You know, that's the way he'd say God. God is waiting. God is calling. And so I thought, boy, if I could talk like Billy Graham. And then Bailey Smith, he had a little skip step and he'd point. He'd do like he'd say, and he'd point when he'd preach. And I thought, man, if I can talk like Billy Graham, talk about God and point like that, man, I'd be a fantastic preacher. So here I am getting ready to start preaching, you know, and I'm thinking, I'd practice reading, and God said, you know, and remember, I'm from Pickens too now. And so, oh God, I was trying to get all proper like Billy Graham could talk. And I was praying, I said, God help me to be like Billy Graham and Bailey Smith. Boy, I'll be a good preacher. You know what God said to me? He said, I've got a Billy Graham, and I've got a Bailey Smith, but I don't have a Benny Durham, and I just need a Benny Durham. And I want you to listen to me. There are some people in high places that God's using in mighty ways. I understand that. But you know what? God wants to use you for who you are. And he wants you, evidently, he wants to use you right here at Ebenezer Welcome. Now let me, and I try not to be ugly, and I'm not being ugly when I say this. If there's nothing for you to do at Ebenezer Welcome, you're in the wrong place. If God brought you here, God has a plan and a purpose for your life to accomplish what he wants to do to build the kingdom of God at Ebenezer Welcome right here, and he will fill you with the Holy Spirit to do that. And if you're not doing that, maybe you should be somewhere else. See, I don't have a problem with people leaving the church and going to where God's leading them to go. I'd whole lot rather have somebody where God wants them instead of where they want to be, because they'll cause a mess, amen? And so the power of the Spirit of God is only, listen, hear me, let me put it this way. Partial obedience is disobedience. You with me? People say, well, I'm going to church. I said, but are you in the right place? Going to church, that's partial obedience, but being in the right church where God's called you to be, that's full obedience. And partial obedience is disobedience. And the power of God will not work in your life if you're not where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You remember what Peter said there in the Gospel of John, right in the last chapter, when Jesus said to him, come on, Peter, I'm going to show you what you're going to do. And he looks and sees John. He said, what about him? And Jesus said again, it's none of your business, right? Jesus kept saying that. He said, don't worry about him. You worry about what I've told you to do. I want to ask you a question. Are you more concerned about what everybody else is doing or not doing than you are what you're doing and not doing? You're quenching and you're grieving the Spirit of God because of that. He said, back in verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come up on you. And listen to this, you shall be, not you could be or should be, you shall be my witnesses. Now catch this, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. It's not cafeteria style that you pick which one you want to do. He says you will be witnesses in all these places. People say, I love foreign mission trips. I've taken people all around the world. People say, why do you go so much over there? There's so much to do here. I said, there sure is, and there's a whole lot to do over there. He's called us to do in our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, and all the world. The whole world is our target. And if we just focus just on our community and we never get our eyes set anywhere beyond that, we're in disobedience. If all we do is go overseas and don't reach our community, we're in disobedience. He said that you're to be in your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Jerusalem was a city. Judea was a province. Samaria was surrounding provinces. And the whole world means the whole world. So let's put it this way. I think y'all have a Landrum address here maybe. Landrum, Greenville County, Spartanburg County, the whole state of South Carolina, the whole nation and the whole world. God has called Ebenezer Welcome to be involved in the whole thing. And when we do that, we have the power to do it through the Holy Spirit of God. And when we do that, the kingdom of God will be built. Well, I don't have time to talk about the rest of the book of Acts, but read it. You'll see in there where miracles take place. You see in there where they were praying and the whole building shook. Now here's what people, well, that wouldn't happen anymore. Why not? If the power of God's on a place in such a powerful way, it can still happen. People were healed, but people were raised from the dead. God did great things. The church, 3,000 people got saved in one day. We say, well, that was then, and this is now. I want to tell you something. God wants to do some things at Ebenezer Welcome that would blow your mind if you really understood it. The Spirit of God wants to stay in this place to accomplish the building of the kingdom right here. You know why? Because the time is near where we'll stand before the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. When we stand before him, it's not going to be about how beautiful our building was, and I think the buildings of God should be first class. It's not going to be about how fancy clothes we wore. It's not going to be about how many people had money in our church. It's going to be about how much of the kingdom did you build. Did you build the kingdom I put before you? Did you trust the Spirit of God that I gave to you? Or did you just, as Tony Evans said, many people sit, soak, and sour, and they never do anything for the kingdom of God. What are you doing to help Ebenezer Welcome be a kingdom builder? What are you doing to help your pastor as he leads the way? What are you doing to help your staff as they try to lead the way? What are you doing to help your deacons as they try to have vision for this church? Listen to me. Whatever you put into it, that's usually what you get out. I'll close with this. Little boy goes to church with his mom and dad. During the church service, the offering was taken. The little boy's watching his dad as the offering plate comes by. Dad takes out $1 bill, puts it in the offering plate. Little boy sees that. Church service is over. On the way home, mom starts. She said, "That was about the worst music I've ever heard in my life." Said the choir did awful. The music director didn't know what they was doing. It was awful. Dad said, "Yeah, I'm boy, I tell you, that preacher, he can't preach. Worst sermon I've ever heard." Said they just, I couldn't even tell what he was talking about. Little boy popped up and said, "Well, I didn't think it was a bad show for a dollar." Let me tell you something. You get out of something what you put into it. I had a friend of mine who was an evangelist. He was a full-time evangelist. And he was at this church, and the pastor got up and said, "We're going to take a love offering for Brother Mike," because he depends on the love offerings of the church. And so they started taking the offering. Well, Mike reached in his wallet and pulls out a $20 bill. Well, the ushers were coming by, and he's trying to put it in the plate. And so the usher kept pulling the plate back, and he shaking his head, "No, no." Finally, the usher leaned over to him and said, "Brother, this offering's for you." He said, "I know. And the more I put in, the more I'll get out." I'll close with this. What are you putting into the kingdom work here at Ebenezer Welcome? Maybe your criticism. Listen, I know there's criticism in every church. I love humor. This one just came to me. Preacher goes to eat lunch with somebody after church. The little boy opens the door. The preacher said, "My goodness, that smells good. What are we having?" He said, "Goat." He said, "Goat?" He said, "You sure, son?" She said, he said, "Yeah, my mom said we're having the old goat for lunch today." Maybe the criticism you have is because you're not putting anything into it. You know what I've always said when I was a pastor? If you don't like the way things are, get involved and help be a changer. Get in here and do it. What are you doing for the kingdom building right here at Ebenezer Welcome? Let's pray. Lord, right now I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts during this invitation. And God, I don't know most of the people in this room. I know some of them, but Lord, you know every one of them. You know their heart. You know exactly what you have for Ebenezer Welcome. And God, I thank you for, they have faith. This last building they built, what a tremendous step of faith for them. But God, I pray that you'd help them not to be complacent, that they'd move ahead, continue to build the kingdom of God, to do the things that you're calling them to do, to work together as a family of God, that they'd be able to see that the Spirit of God will empower them to do what you've called them to do. So, Lord, I pray right now that during this invitation, if there's somebody who's never been saved, it may be that they need to be saved today to be a part of this family. I pray, God, today that you would bring them unto salvation. I pray, God, for those of us who are saved, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts. And, Lord, if there's somebody here today who has not been involved in building the kingdom, that you'd call them out, that they'd come off the bench and get into the game. They'd be a part of doing what you want done right here at Ebenezer Welcome. God, I pray that you'd help people to increase their faith. And Lord, that even today, those that are serving you here, Lord, that you'd expand their vision and help them to claim the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So Lord, you work in every heart. There's sin to be confessed, Lord. Today I pray as you convict them, that they'd respond and they would confess and forsake their sin, that they might be used in a powerful way. Lord, if there's people here who are not doing what they should be doing, Lord, that they would repent of that sin of omission, that they would commit themselves to doing what you've called them to do. Those who are doing things they should not, Lord, you convict them. And as you convict them, I pray that they'd respond to you and confess their sin. So, Lord, during this time, you do the work that needs to be done. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask our brother, is he going to be able to come stand here at the front? If you'll come stand at the front. I'll be here, be glad to help any way I can. I know Vince is gone, but our brother's here. If you need somebody to pray with you or talk to, he'll be here at the front during the invitation. But maybe you just need to come to this altar. Get on your knees right here or stand. If you're not able to kneel, stand here in this altar. And make that commitment to the Lord that you're going to be a kingdom builder and you'll do what he tells you to do. You answer him today and you'll be glad you did. Lord, speak to our hearts. Right now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and you come as we sing.